Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us today. We pray that as we reflect on what it means to be your people in this place, as we seek your will for us individually and as a church, and how you are calling us to proclaim the good news of Jesus to those around us in our town and on our front lines. Help us to see things as you see them. Inspire us with your vision and purposes. Amen. So I said at the beginning of the service, this has been prepared by Fran, and it's the fourth in a series of talks relating to the vision. And on the screen, you can see something what Ian very kindly put together. I'm a visual learner, and Fran says in her talk that this really helped her, as she's a visual learner. So just to make sure you can see it. The red writing above the heart says relational evangelism. Underneath it says demonstrating God's love and character in Warrington and God's thumbprint. And in the heart it says inspirational worship, challenging Bible teaching, serious prayer, supportive fellowship, and committed discipleship. The shared ministry team and the PCC have been working hard to develop this vision, and it is very much still being developed and put in place. So the first week I spoke about God's thumbprint, and then Ian was week two, then Caroline, and this is, as they say, Fran's talk today. So over the last few weeks, we have been exploring what we believe is God is calling us to be, what he is calling us to envision as the church here, his church here. So the image on the screen is a visual representation of the vision statement the shared ministry team and the PCC have prayerfully arrived at, which Ian, as I said, has put together to help us see how the different aspects fit together. And Fran says, as a visual learner, I find this really helpful. The inside of the heart relates to our church family and how we grow together in faith through inspirational worship, challenging Bible teaching, serious prayer, supportive fellowship, and committed discipleship. That is the vision for us as God's people in this place. The outer circle is what I will be reflecting on today, and how we reach out beyond the heart, beyond these doors to the people of our town, and on our front lines every day. Just a reminder, front lines are the places where we find ourselves, those people who we connect with. They may be our neighbours, they may be people at work, they may be people who we see every day at the shop, or you may walk past someone. So our front lines will be different for everybody, but it's the place where God places us to share the good news of Christ, to be Christ in that place. So Fran goes on. How we seek to build genuine, authentic relationships and share our faith. How to demonstrate God's love and character in Warrington. And how we seek to be God's thumbprint. It's fair to say we are at the beginning of this journey, and some aspects of the vision are more developed than others. But that is kind of the point. Vision is about our prayers and hopes. What we believe we are being called to, not where we are now. I was thinking about this idea of vision, and it struck me, it is about seeing, about opening our eyes to the possibilities, the opportunities God presents, God provides. As the last in our short sermon series about vision, I want to begin by reflecting on a couple of things that have struck me in the sermon Shirley, Ian and Caroline have shared so far. Shirley talked about the moment when she became aware of God revealing his image of not only being God's footprint, as in the footprint of this beautiful building, but his thumbprint in the town centre. His presence, his mark. Now, we all know thumbprints are unique. We all have them, but not one of them is the same. Similarly, Shirley reflected on the blessing of her relationships with the other town centre clergy. All very different, and perhaps in times past, those differences would have been a barrier between us. Now there is a greater sense of Christian churches from different denominations working together. A greater sense of the love of Christ expressed between Christian brothers and sisters of different traditions and expressions of church. A shared faith in Jesus Christ and the experience of his love for us as his children. That love is then expressed by us to others. I've always been found it profoundly moving that we have the River of Life sculpture outside our doors, based on Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5, where the River of Life runs through the city, bringing life and healing. The artist's website describes how the symbols of brokenness, healing, new life, and the passage of time can be seen and discovered throughout this unique artwork. But how many of us stop to look at it now? It has become so much part of our landscape, we can walk right past it without seeing. Shirley reflected on the way we can feel invisible, hidden in plain sight, and the pleasant surprise expressed by people when they actually step over the threshold and see the church with fresh eyes. So how can we make God's church more visible? Shirley highlights the fact that we have this unique God-given spot in the town centre to express the love of Christ to others, creating space for others and opportunities to express our faith in all our vulnerabilities, in the reality of messy lives, in encouraging others to enable to encounter God here. Just as we need to be a bit more like Andrew and Philip in John's Gospel reading and say, come and see. Ian talked about the different visions of Peter and Cornelius and that they were brought together in a shared understanding of God's purposes. That there is no partiality with God. All are welcome, and all those who seek God with all their heart, who proclaim Jesus as Lord, can receive the Holy Spirit and become a child of God. Peter's eyes were opened to what God was wanting him to do. Ian talked about how the vision can come from the ordinary, from what's happening around us. God makes us aware of what he is doing and invites us to join in. Just as we need to be obedient to God's prompting, how open are we to this? Are we open to the challenges and changes God might be calling us to make? What prejudices and preconceptions might we need to be aware of as we reach out to others? And then last week, Caroline spoke about our relationships with each other as a church family here. I wonder if we have ever reflected on our reasons for being here at this particular town centre church. What brought us here rather than the church closest to where we live? Whatever the story, God has a purpose for us being part of the people at Holy Trinity, his people. And we are called to love one another. Caroline reflected on how Jesus built a community, a church, and commissioned it. The early church community was noted for its close fellowship, characterized by gentleness, humility, and love for koinonia. How do we really see each other? How well do we really know each other? I'm aware that I can make assumptions about people. I think we can all be guilty of that. One of the aims of the vision is to deepen our fellowship with one another, to really see each other, so we can love, support, and encourage one another better, and so better reflect Christ's love to those around us. We know we are limited, and we don't always see things the way that God sees them. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9, God reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When the prophet Samuel was told to anoint a king for Israel in Samuel 1:16, the one God chose was not the one Samuel expected it to be. He was told not to look at appearance or stature. The Lord looks at the heart and sees the Lord looks at the heart and sees not just what we are, but what he purposes for us. As we know, God is sovereign and over all things. The theologian Chris Wright, no relation to Tom Wright, highlights the fact that throughout the Bible, God controls the whole history of all nations, not just the affairs of his own covenant people, and is perfectly able to do so with or without the direct agency of his own covenant people, and independent of their particular interests. In our reading from Isaiah 44:24-45, what we've heard today, we hear how God uses Cyrus, a pagan king, to defeat Babylon, free the Israelite exiles, and prompt the rebuilding of the temple. Even though Cyrus does not know God, God uses him for his purposes, the restoration of God's people. In using Cyrus, God demonstrates his sovereignty in bringing about his vision for God's people, so that from the rising of the sun to its place of its setting, men may know that there is none beside me. It is God who makes all things, who confirms the word of his servants, and fulfills the predictions of his messengers, who anoints leaders, who opens doors, who goes before us and calls us by name. Shower, O heavens, from above. Let the skies rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation may spring up. And let it cause righteousness to sprout up also. I, the Lord, have created it. About this episode, Chris Wright states that if Israel's ultimate mission was to be a blessing and a light to the nations, they needed to cooperate with God's means of executing that purpose, whether they approved or not. And this is a real challenge to us. We have an awesome God who knows the plans he has for us, and not only us, but for this town. And he is working his purposes out. As part of our vision, we are exploring how we work in partnership with others, acutely aware of our limits. This includes other Christian churches, but as Ian highlighted, we've also seen how the Redeeming Our Communities Warrington conversation, the Rock conversation, has led to networks of people coming together to serve our community and work to transform us for the better. Like the separate visions of Peter and Cornelius, we can see the overlap between the vision of Rock Warrington and the vision for Holy Trinity. This network includes other churches, and it is certainly reassuring to know that Rock is inspired by the Christian faith of its founder, Deborah Green. But we have also talked about exploring and building on other partnerships in social justice, well-being, heritage, and culture and community. Not all of these will have an explicitly Christian ethos, but as the shared ministry team and the PCC explore the vision together, there are genuine and understandable concerns about how we build partnerships and with whom. Needless to say, any future partnership opportunities need to be surrounded in prayer, with careful discernment as to whether they are what God wants us to be involved with. With prayerful discernment as a given, could it be that rather than being worried about worldly influences coming in, that the influences work the other way, that God's blessing breaks through into the world through these partnerships? In the national Rock meetings, we have heard about the way church leaders are now invited onto community and council consultation groups to be a Christian voice in that space. God broke into the world in Jesus Christ and is still doing that through his Holy Spirit and through his church. At a service to celebrate the life of John Stott, Mark Green of LICC, which is the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, which John Stott founded in 1982. He talked about the challenge of tackling the sacred secular divide, where we separate out our faith from our daily lives. He stated about 98% of Christians had neither been envisioned nor equipped for mission in 95% of their waking lives. And fruitfulness had been defined very narrowly, so that for some people, if you hadn't had a conversation about Jesus to a colleague at work, why did you even bother to get up? Now, in the wake of this debate about whether Christians were marginalised in public space, he said, there is no way for a Christian not to be taking their faith to work. But that this need not mean verbal proclamation. We spent some weeks over lockdown exploring the fruitfulness on our frontline resources, and I believe we were all encouraged and inspired to break out and break down the sacred secular divide of our own lives. And this is a work in progress. I felt the story of Paul's time in Corinth in our second reading in Acts spoke into this. Paul arrives in Corinth and joins Aquila and Priscilla as tent makers because he was of the same trade. Every Sabbath he was found in the synagogue proclaiming the good news and trying to convince the Jews and the Greeks. When he was opposed and reviled, he just steps next door to the house of Titus Justus and spreads the good news to the Gentiles, and the church of Corinth is born. There is no sense of sacred-secular divide for Paul. He is working as a tent maker and sharing the gospel. Inspired by God not to be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you. God sees that there are many in this city who are my people. And the ministry of Paul, supported by Aquila, Priscilla, Silas and Timothy, is incredibly fruitful, with Paul staying a year and a half, while Mark Green talks about our non-verbal Christian witness as we work alongside people on our front lines. At some point, sharing our faith verbally is important. Living and working alongside people gives us the opportunity to build genuine and authentic relationships with them. As we get to know others, listening to their stories, sharing their joys and sorrows, their hopes and dreams, we have the opportunity then to share ours, including our story of faith. LICC seeks to practice John Stott's concept of double listening, which is listening to the Word of God and then listening to the world. Listening for the moment when God prompts us, saying, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you." In loving those around us, those we live and work alongside, we demonstrate God's love and character. In building genuine relationships, we are privileged to listen to our friends' stories and share our own, including the hope we have in Christ. I really enjoy listening to the HSBC adverts that state, "We are not an island. We are part of something much, much bigger." In thinking about the vision for Holy Trinity, it is good to remember that it is too part of something much bigger. The whole mission of God. Whatever God has for us, it is a part of his wider vision for the church, for the town, and ultimately for his kingdom. Jesus is at the heart of the centre. Everything needs to be rooted in him. From that, everything else flows. Our relationships with one another as his church family. Our relationships with those outside our doors. How we serve our church and community and bring God's blessing. It is a privilege and so exciting to be part of what God is doing. Let's keep seeking, let's keep watching for what God has in store. Lord, give us eyes to see and obedient hearts to follow wherever you may lead us. For your glory, Amen.